morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Ach, you can do better than that. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
There we go. Oh, brilliant. I love the noise coming from the first couple of rows. Some fantastic dress up today as well, by the way. Some wonderful looking young folk who are really soon going to invite to come up to the stage. But before we do that, we want to start our service this morning in prayer. We're going to settle ourselves and ask the Lord to really meet with us and to speak to us, and that we would know his presence here this morning. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can gather here this morning in this building with great joy. We're here, Father, because it's Christmas. Father, we are here at this season to remember that Christ, the Lord Jesus, was born into this world, God incarnate. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the amazing implications, Father, for the amazing truths and the amazing hope and the love that we can experience through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our wee service this morning, Father. We thank you for all of the boys and girls, the families, for each person in here this morning, Lord. We thank you that you've brought us here today. We thank you, you want to speak to us here today. You want to meet with us here today. So, Father, by faith, we ask, Lord, your help on all of the boys and girls as they would take part and for their leaders. Father, as we would sing carols about the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that the truth of Christ would grip our hearts and lift our voices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Warm welcome to the family service on the final Sunday before Christmas. Wow, where has December gone already? But we're really excited. There's been so many people practicing and learning things, not just for this morning, but for tonight's carol service as well. And so we're going to stand together and we're going to sing two carols after each other, Joy to the World, and then Go into Away in a Manger. So we'll stand together and sing these two carols, praising the Lord. Thanks, Glenn. Manger, a favorite for many.
Yeah.
Some brief announcements as well. Maybe just a reminder as well. It is always easy to walk in and forget to slip your phone on the silent or to flick it off. Just a wee reminder for you for that, just to keep the unbrokenness just of our service. Some announcements as well. There's a little bit of an apology to you boys and girls too. Billy, who usually does the announcements, he's booked somewhere else to preach this morning, and he was so disappointed to not be able to be here for this morning's service. I'm disappointed too, because now I've got to do the announcements. But they're not very many, so listen up, folks. We have obviously our family service here this morning. The speaker is Andrew Cuthbert. We have our carol service this evening, which I'm really looking forward to. The pastor will be speaking. There'll be lots of people from church taking part. There'll be wonderful carols being sung, and there's a supper over in the church hall afterwards as well that we can have a bit of fellowship and have a bit of a catch-up before we break into the Christmas week. So what day is Christmas this week? Tuesday? It is Tuesday, isn't it? All right, on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, there's the Christmas morning service here in the church. What time was that at? 10 o'clock on Tuesday here. Don't worry about stuffing your Christmas dinner into you to get into the Bible study on Tuesday night. We've decided we'll not do the Bible study on Christmas night. And so the prayer meeting is also off on Friday. And then we're back on Sunday next week at our regular times of 11:30 and 6:30. The pastor will be speaking at both of those services, and there'll be, again, a lot of our own folks taking part in a special service in the evening. So something to look forward to. Something to put into your diary as well. We are having a week of prayer starting from Monday the 7th of January. And so every night, Monday to Friday, at 8 o'clock in the prayer room is our week of prayer to really start the year out looking to the Lord, thanking the Lord, and seeking just his power still to be at work in our church family, in our own families, in our communities. And so that's the week of prayer on Monday the 7th. As well, we have a couple of prayer letters at the back for you to take away today. One is from Stephen and Heather Cuthbert, who are over in England. As well, some exciting news for the family in that one as well. And we have a prayer letter from Rodney and Amor Orr at the back that you can take on your way out as well. We do, as a church, though, we do have a family in our church here who are mourning this week, and so as a church, we want to give our condolences to Evelyn McMaster on the death of her brother, and of course to Beverly as well on her uncle, and so we do ask that you'd lift up that family circle just at a time of sadness and loss. Evelyn's brother lived over in Canada, and so the distance is a particularly difficult thing for the family at this week as well. So that is all of the announcements for this week and coming in. So we'll do remember the carol service tonight in the church, Christmas morning service here at 10 o'clock. Enough of me. Okay, there's a particular group here that we're going to hand over to. So Tiny Steps, who are very well dressed, are going to be led up here by Sam and Laura Carson, who, along with other leaders, have been helping in Gail's time of sickness. And so we're going to ask if Tiny Steps want to come up now and do their wee program. Thanks, guys.
Morning. So as Andrew has said, these are the tiny steps in front of me, joined by some of the leaders. And if you can't make out the leaders, they're the nervous-looking ones. We're going to sing two songs, first of all. The first one, you will recognize the tune, and we have tried to put just a simple Christmas message to it.
They
say never work with children or animals, so this is why, obviously. Okay. The Lord said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And in so doing, not only did he show their significance, but he also showed their role. And these children, they're not the church of tomorrow. They're part of the church of today. And in that spirit, we would like to lead the church in just a wee song that the children like to sing. We're going to be accompanied by the musical maestro, that's Glenn. And the boys and girls are going to sing through the first verse on their own. And then if the rest of the church would like to join us for the second verse. Okay, we just have the words up on the back screen.
Wonderful singing for that. Thank you so much to Tiny Steps, to the leaders, to the mums and dads who've been helping the kids practice and stuff in the week past and in the weeks before that too. You know what? I forgot an announcement. A simple one at that too. See, on Christmas morning, we often do ask if the boys and girls would like to bring maybe a wee gift, something maybe that they've received on Christmas Day. If they want to bring that with them, they can do that on Christmas morning, so you can remember that one. We also have then stepping stones, the older children, then from within the church. And so I know they've been practicing hard. And so Judith and the leaders and the boys and girls have a lovely program that they're going to come up on stage now and share with us. Thank you so much to you guys.
Well, weren't Tiny Steps brilliant? Really, really good. And we have some more brilliant children here to sing and to do some readings for you today. And as you see, we have a wreath theme. The children have made the wreaths at the end of the aisle, and we're using them to remind us of some of the things that we've learned about the Old Testament and about Jesus coming at Christmas time and how he fulfilled God's promises. So I have a wee song for you now. Are you ready to sing, boys and girls? Good. So... learning about a man in the Old Testament through the wreath. So the wreath reminds us of a circle, the promises of God which cannot be broken. And the star reminds us of another promise made to this first person who we're going to meet. So who are you?
I am Abraham.
And what did God promise you, Abraham?
I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you a great name, and you will be blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Do you have a curse? You will be cursed, and all people on earth will be blessed for you. God showed me the stars and promised me that my nations would be as many of the stars of the sky.
Brilliant. Well done, Abraham. And those promises came true because Jesus was a descendant of Abraham, wasn't he? And remember, boys and girls, so what is the thing that we say, God? Brilliant. And we have two more Old Testament characters, prophets, who God made promises to as well. So with the first one here. So who are you?
Micah.
And what did God promise you, Micah?
That Isaiah will be born in Bethlehem.
Brilliant. Well done, Micah. And who have we over here?
I am Isaiah.
Okay, Isaiah. And what promises did God make to you, Isaiah?
God gave me lots of promises about the Messiah. His mother would not be married. He would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And he would die and rise again, and some others too. Too many promises to mention, really.
Brilliant. Well done, Isaiah. And we know that those all came true because, boys and girls?
God keeps his promises.
Very good. So we have another song for you now. Now, God made promises, amazing promises, to two other people who we're going to meet now. So the first one, who are you? You're Mary. And what promises did God give to you?
An angel appeared to me and promised that God would give me a son. He said he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end, I was so surprised. I wasn't even married, and God had chosen me to be the mother of his son.
Okay, Mary. Brilliant. That was an amazing promise, amazing message from the angel. And who are we going to meet here?
Joseph.
And what promises did God make to you, Joseph?
An angel told me that my fiancée, Mary, was going to give birth to the Son of God, and we were to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Imagine, our son would be the saviour of the world.
Brilliant. Well.
Now, Sophia, if you move forward.
So now for a song, because it really was a glorious night when Jesus was born.
Shepherds came to see the baby, stood by his mother's side. He laid the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night! Oh, what a glorious night! Shepherds wandered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone inside. Oh, were amazed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. God came down on this glorious night.
Night, some messengers came to heaven to make some promises from heaven to make some promises to the shepherds.
So your angel, they say, and what promise did you make, or what announcement did you make?
Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you.
That's good. And Amelia?
He is the Messiah, the Lord.
And Hannah?
You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Very good. Just sung, we have a red wreath on our bow to remind us that Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross so that we could have forgiveness and so that we can have hope at Christmas time. And Melody's here to remind us about what do God's promises mean for us today. Melody.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 that all God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus. He is the light of the world and my Saviour. I pray that you sense him close and feel his love this Christmas. And remember,
God keeps his promises.
I loved the singing. I loved the costumes. You know what I loved most of all, boys and girls? That you understand what the Bible's been saying to you. You understand how wonderful it is that the Lord Jesus did come, and you understand who he is, how God does always keep his promises. That's going to be something that all of us are going to really look at this morning, because the boys and girls have been getting it, and it's simple enough to understand no matter how young we are, but it's something that we're all going to look at this morning. God always does keep his promises. It's a wonderful thing. We are going to lift an offering, folks. We're going to pray before that, and there's a few things maybe to pray for. As well. So there, maybe if you haven't seen the news this morning, there's a lot of sad people in Indonesia this morning. There's a tsunami has hit Indonesia, and there's a lot of people who've been really affected by that, and so that's something as a church we want to pray for and ask God's help into. As well, this is a time of year that we do always say is it can be really tough for people. It can be maybe a time that people feel especially lonely, or it can be a time maybe when people with long-term sickness or things too especially struggle with. And so we do want to pray especially just at this time for those of our church fellowship, for those of our family, for those of our community who we know of, who we can pray for at this time. We've mentioned Evelyn and Beverly and to pray for them. And it's a time as well, just maybe in this prayer, to really thank the Lord for each of the children of our church and to really pray for God's blessing upon them in the year ahead too. So we'll pray and then lift an offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simple truth of your word. You have helped us to understand, Lord, who you are, who Christ is, what he came to do and what he came to accomplish. And Father, we thank you for all that has been sung and said by the boys and girls, Father, from your word. We thank you that it's true and it is light and it does have real significance to speak into each of our hearts today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the life of each and every boy and girl, and we pray, Lord, for your blessing through the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives, Lord, in these days and in the days ahead. We pray, Lord, that you'd help them to understand your love for them, to understand that Christ died for them, to walk with you. Father, we thank you for all of the families that they represent, and we pray, Lord, your blessing into those households, for the grandparents, for the aunties and uncles here today too. Father, we pray, Lord, with thankfulness that you're a God who wants to bless. And Father, we thank you that all of those blessings are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do think, Lord, with sadness to, Lord, those in Indonesia affected today, Lord, through that tsunami, through that volcano. And we pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon that country and those people. We pray, Father, maybe as well for, Lord, for Christians in those areas, missionaries in those areas too, Lord. And pray, Lord, that as they've faced the same sadness and faced the same difficulty, Lord, as everyone around them, we pray that you'd work through them. Lord, we pray, Lord, lifting up Indonesia before you, Lord, that your hand would be upon them just in that catastrophe over there. We pray, Father, for Evelyn and for Beverly McMaster, Lord, in the sadness of the loss of a brother and of an uncle, and we pray you draw close to them. Pray, Lord, that you draw close to all who feel sad at this time of year, missing loved ones. We pray, Father, that they would know your comfort and your presence with them. Father, we think of those who are struggling with sickness, and we do thank you, Father, for John Moore getting home after his heart operation. We think, Lord, of Lottie Stewart and Davy McAvoy in hospital. And Father, we think of many who are at home and perhaps struggling with, Lord, soreness, physical pain, Father, for mental pain. Father, we pray for those who are low in heart at the minute, Father, for those who are discouraged. And we pray, Lord, your touch upon each of us, meeting us exactly at the point of our need. Father, we do thank you for our church family here that we can come together this morning and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for the community around us and pray, Lord, that one by one, Father, that they would come to know true joy and true blessing through the Lord Jesus. Father, what good news it is that Christ came. And so, Father, as we would lift an offering to now, we pray, Lord, that you'd use it for the furtherance of your kingdom, that more people, Father, would come on under the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll remain seated while we sing our offering hymn. It is Once in Royal David City. If there's a chance to stand once the bags have passed, I'll give you this nod for that. And again, if you're a visitor to the church, don't worry, the offering is us worshiping God and giving money to him. If you're unprepared for that, do just pass the bag on and we'll sit for the opening of Once in Royal David City. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you.
seat. I'm going to come down just for a bit to talk to the boys and girls before I come back up, because there's some questions I have for you. So I'm really thrilled, boys and girls, that what you've been singing and talking about this morning has been about how God keeps his promise, how God always keeps his promise. So that's the title of what we're going to talk about this morning. God always keeps his promise. So here's my question to the boys and girls. Who's good at keeping your promise? Is anyone really good at it? Some of the younger ones, the older ones, not as many hands. So who is perfect? Who always keeps their promise? Still some hands up. We'll see about that. So whenever you tell your mommy, yes, I'll go and clear away my toys right now, do you always do it right away? I'm seeing some mummies' faces, and they're going, nope. Maybe some of the older ones, if you tell your daddy, yes, I'll go and finish my homework before I do anything else. I'll go straight upstairs and do that. I'll not keep playing games. Do you do that every time? No, there's some going, no. There's some still think yes. What about, as well, if you say, oh, you say to your friend in school or nursery, oh, I'll keep you a seat, and then maybe you forget about that. And then someone's sitting beside you and your friend comes and you realize you forgot that promise that you said. You forgot about it. You didn't mean to, but it just slipped off your head. So some of us are really good at keeping promises. Some of us are better than others at keeping promises. But none of us always do keep every last single promise that we ever make. Sometimes we forget that we said we would do it. Sometimes we maybe just don't want to do what we said we would do. And so sometimes, actually, the grown-ups, sometimes they make promises to God. Sometimes we make promises to God as well. Maybe it's someone who doesn't overly believe that God is real, but maybe sometimes life gets really, really tough. Sometimes something happens, and you know what sometimes we do? We pray, and sometimes people say to God, well, if you help me through this, if you get me through this, I will give my life to you. I'll serve you. I'll worship you. And you know what? Sometimes, maybe a lot of times, maybe as life goes on, they forget about that promise. They forget what they said to God. None of us are perfect at keeping promises. It's okay. Maybe some of you still had your hands up and thinking that you do. Good for you. If you make a promise, you try to keep it. But the truth is, as humans, none of us always keep our promise. So I'm going to make some promises to everyone here this morning. We're going to see how that works out for me. But let's see, I've something up here that I quite enjoy. Haribo Tangfastics. So who likes sweets? Yeah, I quite like sweets. And so I promise, who can I share this with? Suppose it should be my wife, shouldn't I? I promise that I will share my sweets with Claire. I promise, after I eat my sweet, that I will clap my hands. I promise that Liverpool are going to win the Premier League and the Champions League. No doubt about that one. I promise that the keyboard up here is going to lift and it's going to fly around the church while playing by itself the song Flying Without Wings before landing back. I promise that I am going to give everyone in the church £1 million each on your way out the door. There we go. Everyone likes that one. Even better than that, I promise at some point I am going to sit down and stop talking. Better than £1 million for that one. It's a sad truth that sometimes people are mean, boys and girls. They can do and say really hurtful things. Promises, we can make them, but there's two things. One, you have to want to keep the promise. I could give Claire some sweets. I could share, but I can decide not to. I maybe want to give you £1 million, but when I look at my bank balance, I realize that's not going to happen. I'm not able to give you £1 million. So sometimes, boys and girls, we can make a promise, but we have to want to keep it, and we have to be able to keep it. And so some of the promises you boys and girls have already read out to us this morning. We're going to look at a Bible passage and see, what has God promised us? So I'm going to go back up here, if you don't mind. And we're going to open up God's book of promises to us. And so, folks, if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 1. And so in this book is God's promise to you and to me. And so we're going to read about the story that we are here to celebrate, about the person that we're here to celebrate, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, the passage, if you can see that, is just up on screen. If you don't have a Bible here today, if you're a visitor, and so it is up on screen. And so some of the promises that we're going to look at, we want to see is God, does God want to keep his promises, and is God able to keep his promises? I'm going to tell you the end at the start. God wants to keep his promises, and God is able to keep his promises. So we're going to read from God's word to see what some of these promises are. And so reading from the book of Luke chapter 1, I'm in the wrong book, and reading from verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." We'll finish reading God's word there at verse 45. And so, what we've just read out is God's, some of God's promises. There's lots of amazing promises happening here. And so we've already heard from the boys and girls. Maybe, who can tell me, what's one of the promises that God made? What did God say was going to happen? Who can answer me this? What do you think? What is it? To take our sins away? That would come soon. That's a really good answer. But what did God promise to Mary? Yeah. That she would have a baby. God made a promise to a woman who wasn't married, who was a virgin, and said, "You will have a baby." What an amazing promise. God promised Mary that she would become pregnant, and so the baby Jesus would be born because of a miracle that God himself was going to do. God does the impossible. God made the promise. God wanted to keep it. He was able to keep the promise, and so Mary was pregnant with the Lord Jesus. God always keeps his promises. There was someone else who was promised a baby as well. Did anyone pick out who was that? Go again. Not Abraham, someone else. Yes, David? Elizabeth. So Elizabeth and Zechariah, they were really, really old. So they were too old to have children, and they had never had children, sadly. Elizabeth wasn't able to have children. But God said, "You know what? Elizabeth and Zechariah, you too are going to have a child." What do you think happened? Did God keep his promise? We're not really sure about that. Did God keep his promise? He did. God always keeps his promise. It would have seemed impossible. Zechariah and Elizabeth had never been able to have a child. But God promised it. God wanted to keep his promise. And God was able to keep that promise. And so John was born 6 months before baby Jesus was born. God promised it, and God fulfilled it. And so those are two pretty huge promises, aren't they? A virgin would have a child, and an elderly couple who were never able to have a child, they had one. Those are huge promises. Those are things that only God can actually do. But you know what? There is a bigger promise in what we read from the Bible there, even than those two things. And so two huge promises, but yet here's the bigger one. And we've already seen God always keeps his promise. So what is it? Well, just in case we need any help figuring out, does God keep his promise? Could you flick that on one for me, Graham, please? Two other verses in the Bible, if you can see this. Well, does God always keep his promise, though? So he did for these guys, but does God always? If God was promised something to me, will God keep it? Well, Psalm 146:6 said, he made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. Numbers 23:19, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God always, eternally, forever, keeps every promise. And so as big as these two promises about the birth of John and the birth of Jesus, the bigger and most amazing promise is what the boys and girls have been sharing with us this morning. It is about who the Lord Jesus would be. It wasn't just that a baby would be born. It's who the baby would be was the bigger promise that God was making. Verse 32 had said, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The most amazing promise from God is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so I'm thrilled, I really am. A lot of respect and a lot of appreciation to the leaders from Tiny Steps and from Stepping Stones who have been teaching the boys and girls through this year about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, about how God does always fulfill his promise. And actually, one of the verses that we'll be reading as well now is one of the ones that the boys and girls read out. And so God promised he would send a Savior. God knew in the midst of the brokenness of this world that there is sadness, that there is tsunamis, that there is pain. It's not the way the world was supposed to be, but sin had broken it. Sin had twisted it. Adam and Eve had broken the world by choosing to reject God and instead do their own thing. And so God had made a promise right from the very start, and we'll hear more about that tonight, about how God would send a rescuer. God would send someone who would save humans who trusted in God. He would deliver them from their sin. And so there's one verse that says that. So it was already read to us this morning, but 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. God made a promise. He said that he would send a Savior. He said that his Savior would come when the time was right, and he would come born of a woman, and he would come to die to save everyone who would believe in him, accept God's promise of salvation. And so, boys and girls, you are listening really well. We're nearly finished. But God's promise of salvation is fulfilled in Jesus. God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. So what does that mean? Maybe some of the grown-ups can figure that out. I really love fresh coffee. I'm a bit of a snob when it comes to that. And so every so often, I'll go on the internet and I'll order a fresh bag of coffee. And so on Friday, I saw one that was a Christmas coffee, and I thought, ooh, that looks lovely. And so after I paid my money, they said that they were going to send me this lovely bag of fresh coffee. And on the next day, in the post, there it was. What a world we live in. Brilliant. So I had asked for something They had said, we'll give you that. They said, you're going to get it. And so whenever I received my bag in the post, I got an email and it said, your order was fulfilled. What was supposed to happen, happened. All of it. They didn't send me one little tiny coffee bean in the post. They sent me everything I was supposed to get. My order was fulfilled. I'd got it, every last bit of it. God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. God promised a Savior who would come, and as the world is full of helpless sinners, you and I, we were born helpless sinners. We couldn't do anything about our sin. But the only one who was able to deal with our sin came, and he wanted to. He was willing. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us. God loves us, and he came willingly. He came to save us. He came out of love for us to make it possible that we could be saved from our sin, to make it possible that we could receive that forgiveness from God, to make it possible that we wouldn't have to fear, to make it possible that we would have a hope even when we're sad and even when we're in pain. It would seem so impossible, but as the angel told Mary, nothing will be impossible for God. God always keeps his promise. And so the Savior came, and his name was Jesus. And his name meant God saves. What a wonderful celebration. What a wonderful truth that in Jesus, in this little baby born in Bethlehem, all of the promises of God's salvation were all wrapped up in him. The most amazing gift to be received. Jesus was the promised one. He was the fulfillment of God's promise. He came to deliver the most amazing promise ever made to anybody. It's good news for you. It's good news for me. It's good news of great joy. It's life-saving news. It's life-changing news. It's eternal life news. God wants to save you. God is able to save you. And God is faithful because Christ came to fulfill that promise that all who would receive it. I could offer Claire a sweet, but she can say no. Sometimes for a promise, we have to receive it. We have to take that gift. And so God has already paid. I had to pay for my coffee, but Christ has paid for my salvation. We don't have to pay for it. It's a gift that we receive. God always keeps his promise. So how do we accept that promise? How do we receive the fulfillment of God's promise? Romans 10 and 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so maybe you don't know what that means. Talk to me or talk to someone who you've come along with who can help you understand this morning what that looks like, can explain what that means to call upon the name of the Lord. This Christmas, if you're a believer, you've been saved. And our response is to be so thankful and to appreciate how amazing God's love is, how wonderful he is, that God always keeps his promise and he kept it for us. This Christmas, though, there are still so many people who maybe know about God's promise, but they don't want it. They know about the Lord Jesus, but maybe they think they don't need him, or maybe they don't want him. And so they still reject salvation. This Christmas 2018 is a chance. It's an opportunity. God is still offering his promise to you. God is still holding out the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ, the King and the Savior. Jesus, he knows what we really believe in our hearts, folks. He knows what we're really trusting in. One day everyone is going to know. One day everyone will know if you're trusting in him or if you're trusting in anything or anyone else. But God has promised that one day Jesus will return. In the same way as God kept his promise with the birth of Jesus, so God will keep his promise that Jesus will come back. He will. God always keeps his promise. And at that day, it will become known whether you've received the promise of salvation through the Lord or whether you've said no. And for those who have received of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be an amazing, amazing day. We will get the delivery, in a sense, the fulfillment of the promise of being in heaven with the Lord forever. I'm just going to finish with a phrase. Maybe the musicians want to come up, but it's something that Elizabeth said to Mary, and I'm just going to tweak it slightly for us. Blessed are they who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to them from the Lord. Blessed are they who believe that what God has promised is going to take place. If you're a believer this Christmas time, let's rejoice in that. Let's rejoice in the celebration that Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise, and he's ours. And so we're going to stand and sing, "See Him Lying in a Bed of Straw," singing praise to the one who is the fulfillment, that God always keeps his promise. We'll stand and sing. It's 154 if you're using the book. Thanks, Glenn. Service tonight. Come early if you want to get a good seat as well, and remember the supper is on afterwards as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that Jesus is the fulfillment of your greatest promise to humanity. He would be the Savior that would save his people from their sin. He would save us, Father, from the immense brokenness of sin, from the despair eternal of sin, from the death eternal of sin. Father, we thank you that you always keep your promise. We thank you that you were willing that the Lord Jesus would come to save us. You were able to save us. Father, we rejoice and celebrate our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. We thank you, Father, at this Christmas season that we have the light. We know, Father, what Christmas is all about. And Father, help us to keep Christ at the center of our worship and our attention and our focus at this special time of year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. See you tonight, folks.